What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogelmeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and now I also write for the LA Football Network, but we've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons now together, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season, and this is now our second season, going on our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, yesterday we had our mock draft Monday, and today we are getting back to our free agency focus. And to do that, we'll be talking about an article written by Jason Hirschhorn, which is talking about the biggest needs the Chargers still have after the big first wave of free agency. And at the end of the show, we're going to look at, now that we know what the cap space is for the Chargers, who the best remaining free agents are that are still available that could make sense for Tom Telesco to bring in. But we're going to start the show with the news that the Chargers are going to change their logo and their uniform before the 2020 season. I'm sure you guys have all seen everything that's happened with the Rams on Monday, so you guys are very familiar with how bad that can go. And the Chargers obviously have a historic logo and a historic set of uniforms. So we're going to start with that to begin the show. But let's go ahead and get into it. On a day that the Los Angeles Rams were getting universally panned for their new logo going into the new stadium in 2020, it was reported that the Chargers might be interested in changing things up as well. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Joe Reedy from the Associated Press reported on Monday that the Chargers are going to change their uniforms and their logo in 2020. This is scary news for Chargers fans because the last time we saw them change their logo was when they moved up to Los Angeles, and that logo disappeared quickly after a strong movement on social media where it was made fun of basically everywhere. And the Chargers have a very historic set of uniforms. The powder blue uniforms are the winningest uniform in football percentage wise, and it is just one of the better looks. And the Chargers overall have good colors. They have one of the most popular looking uniforms in the NFL, and the Chargers logo, just the lightning bolt that everyone has seen a million times. It would be hard to change that in my mind and still have it look normal. So David, it has been reported that the Chargers are going to change their logo and uniform, obviously trying to get a spark going into the new stadium, but they're going to have a lot to worry about because it is such a historic uniform and the logo change already hasn't gone well for them.
Yeah, Daniel, they're under a lot of pressure with this type of move. I mean, like you mentioned, they have one of the most iconic jersey sets in NFL history. They have the Color Rush Royal Blue, which is extremely popular out there. Obviously, you mentioned the Powder Blues. They even have the Navies. They have the White and Lightning Bolt throwbacks. They have just so many iconic, amazing jerseys that when they go in to change their jersey set, I mean, they're going to be under a lot of pressure. Everybody, I think, universally knows that they have had some of the best jerseys in the NFL. So when they go to change this logo and change this jersey set, they have to make sure that it's perfect. I mean, they're going into a new stadium, you know, trying to still win fans in the LA market, so they can't mess this up. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure. They have to get it right. There are some rumors out there that the supposed changes are looking pretty good, but I mean, you know, you won't know until you see them, and they have to get them right, Daniel.
Yeah, Benjamin Albright, who is a reporter for the Broncos, said the Chargers have the coolest looking new uniforms, like you're going to flip out. They're awesome. So that's a pretty good endorsement by somebody who's pretty plugged in to the NFL. But all of these things are subjective. Everybody's going to have a different reaction to them, and you're probably not going to get universal praise for whatever the change is going to be. But the one thing that you don't want is what happened to the Los Angeles Rams on Monday, because the picture of the Rams logo was leaked over the last couple of weeks. It got universally panned, and they still decided to roll it out there. And once again, it got absolutely crushed on social media. People saying that they took the logo from the Chargers and made it way too similar to them. So David, I think the Chargers have already learned their lesson once when they moved up to LA that the logo is going to be a big deal. But the absolute worst possible scenario, even though they say all press is good press, is what happened to the Rams today, where you just release it and everybody is laughing at you around the NFL.
Oh, man. I mean, just like the Chargers, the Rams are trying to get into a new stadium, or they're going to break into a new stadium in 2020 as well. And when they rolled out these logos, everybody has absolutely destroyed them. They have eviscerated them on social media. The only one that's getting any type of praise is just the Rams, the actual Ram logo that is a part of the four that they released. And even that one is not even that great. You move into a new stadium, you are still new in a new market, although you have some established fans there. That is the absolute worst thing that could have possibly happened for the Rams, is to roll out these logos and them get destroyed. The Chargers have to make sure that they don't make the same mistake.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see some leaked uniforms or a leaked logo before this actually happens and before they make the actual decision, because one of the most surprising things about the Rams logo is the fact that these have been out there, people saw them, people reacted to them, and they kept them exactly the same instead of trying to change it up at all. They're not totally bad, there are some that are okay. Like you said, the actual Rams head itself doesn't look that bad, but for the Chargers, when you have a logo, people are generally going to dislike it, so you better make sure you hit a home run so people were talking about your team for the right reasons. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to get into a article written by Jason Hirschhorn talking about the Chargers' biggest needs after the first wave of free agency before getting into our best available free agents left at the end of the show. All right, David, well, we've talked plenty about what the Chargers did in free agency so far last week and the moves they made, including, you know, signing guys like Austin Ekeler and the trades with Trey Turner being brought in. But Jason Hirschhorn, a guy we've had on the show before who killed it for us on here, came out with an article about what the Chargers' biggest needs were after the first big wave of free agency. So going down the list, Jason has the top need on here, if they are in any order, as quarterback, because the Chargers did miss out in the Tom Brady sweepstakes. After that, it goes wide receiver, then offensive line, then linebacker. So, David, first I will just ask you, when you see this list, when you see the four positions that he's talking about, do you agree that these are the four biggest needs that are still left on the Chargers roster?
Yeah, no, I definitely do agree. I mean, when you look at the linebackers, I mean, that's a little bit slim now, you know, with Thomas Davis's departure. You got Denzel Perryman, you got Drew Tranquil, you got Emeka Egbule, but, I mean, Emeka has absolutely no experience at the NFL level. So, yeah, that position's very thin. The offensive line,
Kazir White and Uchenna Nwosu too, but obviously, you know, they're playing a little bit of different positions. You're looking for more off-the-ball type of linebackers, I think, is what they're really missing at this point.
Exactly, yeah. They need more the middle linebacker type. I mean, you know, they need someone who's going to be able to come in and play three downs. On the offensive line, they address the right side. The left side's still looking very barren. I mean, you don't know who's going to play left tackle. You are not sure what kind of production you're going to get out of left guard. I mean, Dan Feeney's been very iffy in his career so far. Of course, quarterback, I mean, it's obviously a need. I mean, you have Tyrod Taylor. The Chargers have said that they want to go into the year with Tyrod Taylor as a starting quarterback. But, you know, they're picking six overall, Daniel, and there's a good chance that they could grab a quarterback at six if they feel they need to fill that position. But overall, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I do think that he probably nailed it right here with the four biggest needs. Obviously, quarterback, they might draft somebody, they might not, but Tyrod Taylor is not the answer. So to still have that as a need, even knowing that you have Tyrod Taylor going into the season, I think is still accurate. Even right now with Easton Stick as the backup, that's a very, very inexperienced backup that hasn't taken a single snap in the NFL. So I think that that position, even if they don't go somewhere with it in the draft, I think they will still bring in another veteran quarterback, because I don't know if they're going to be comfortable letting Easton Stick be the sole backup if something were to happen to Tyrod Taylor and have your whole season in Easton Stick's hands, you know, as a second year, fifth round pick. So I think that's a huge need for them as well. Like we talked about, linebacker, wide receiver, that third wide receiver role for the Chargers is absolutely abysmal. And I've been on record on here as saying the Chargers need not one, but two wide receivers going into this season, because we know what happens with injuries. We know that when the Chargers had even Travis Benjamin, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Tyrell Williams, all of those guys still got targets. So the Chargers will use four wide receivers this season if they have four guys that are out there and actually capable of playing. But looking at this and thinking about what else they missed on here, David, if you were to say that the one position that really still needs to have additions to it right now as we speak that doesn't show up on this list, what position would you go with?
So I'm just looking at the depth on the defensive line. I mean, They brought in Linval Joseph, which is great. He's an awesome upgrade over the departing Brandon Mebane. But you still need to be, have some bodies that you can rotate into that position. You got Jerry Tillery, who's coming off of a okay rookie season. Definitely a lot of room for improvement there. I mean, he needs to take a sizable leap in year two. You didn't really see much of Cortez Broughton. They need to add to that position. They need to add bodies. I'd like to see them bring back Damian Square, who I've said many times quietly had a great year. And he's a veteran. He's a leader. He's a guy who's going to be able to provide some versatility and play a lot of different positions on the defensive line. That's an area I'd like to see them continue to address, add depth to.
Yeah, I think that's a low-key need as well. I love Damian Square, and I think the nice thing about Damian Square is you know that he doesn't necessarily need to get starter reps to be productive. I mean, there's certain players where if they're not getting, you know, 600 snaps in a season, aren't going to be able to put up stats that make it seem like they're playing well. But I think Damian Square showed in a limited role last year that he can still be very effective, and he was maybe the most effective defensive tackle on the Chargers. I think he actually was the most efficient defensive tackle on the Chargers last season and played well and kind of got buried by Justin Jones and Brandon Mebane. But Justin Jones and Jerry Tillery, through, you know, 1 year and 2 years, have not shown the ability to get after the quarterback. Linval Joseph at this point might be able to get some push in the pocket, but he's not going to be able to really be a presence in there that is going to free up the likes of Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So I think along with the defensive interior, I think the Chargers could look for some help at defensive end as well and get some help on the edges, because right now in last year, the Chargers sack production was really bare minimum. I mean, they, for the guys they have, that was just not enough. I think they ranked 28th in the NFL in sacks last year, and they have two of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And last season, they were still winning in the pass block win rates for defensive ends against their one-on-one matchup. So they were still getting past the guy in front of them, but there was just too much room to step up into the pocket for quarterbacks to kind of evade that. So I think that was a big problem last year. So I think edge rusher is a very low-key need, and I think the other one would be tight ends, David, because right now Hunter Henry is coming back. The plan is to get him signed to a multi-year extension, and I think even if you do that, even if you get him signed to multiple years, you still need somebody else, because with his injury history, I was fully willing to give him that contract. I was wanted the Chargers to sign him to a multi-year extension. I still do, even given his injury history, but let's not pretend that it's not there, right? I mean, the Chargers still need to do something outside of Sean Colkin and Virgil Green behind him, because right now you have to be somewhat expecting that you might not finish your season with Hunter Henry healthy, and the prospect of potentially having Virgil Green have to play a full season at tight end for the Chargers because they can't call Antonio Gates this time to bail them out, that's a really scary thought, David. So I think the tight end position is one of those more low-key needs. I would not put it in the top four, but I would not be mad at all if they decided to add to that position to give themselves a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, and you're looking for more of a pass catcher. I mean, Sean Colkin's a really good blocker. Obviously, Virgil Green is a phenomenal blocker. He's really an extension to the offensive line. He's not really much of a pass catcher. He's just not been known as that throughout his career. So if you're going to bring in another tight end, which I agree with you, I think they need to add to that position. You want a guy that has a little bit of a pedigree to catch a few balls here and there.
Yeah, you absolutely do, because there, you really can't have enough talent on the field at any position. But if you're talking about what position you are going to be the worst off at if the person in front of them gets hurt, I mean, a quarterback is obviously up there. Right tackle, if your right tackle in Brian Bulaga gets hurt, we know how bad it is behind him. So those are all positions that the Chargers definitely need to fill. And I think really the offensive line, like Jason Hirschhorn talks about on here, yes, the offensive line definitely needs some help. You have a big hole at left tackle. But I think the other thing to remember too is just the fact that you still have a pretty big question mark at left guard. I mean, Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp. I mean, we know Dan Feeney's not the answer. I think you can still have a tiny glimmer of hope with Forrest Lamp just because we haven't really seen him over the course of a full season. He hasn't been able to stay healthy over the course of a full season. And you also have Scott Quessenberry if they decide to move Mike Pouncey back to the starting center position, which we don't know yet because he has not been medically cleared. So I think when people say the offensive line, I think everyone's thoughts go to left tackle. But David, I mean, even though it would be kind of hard to bring somebody else in, it's a little bit of a cluster right now at the left guard position. I think that is still a position that you really don't know what you're going to get out of it. And it's really right now outside of left tackle, the biggest need on the offensive line, obviously.
Yeah, and I think it's a need you have to address in both the draft and free agency. I mean, they did a good job of trading for Trey Turner on the right side, signing Brian Bulaga to play right tackle, but the left side's looking pretty barren right now. Obviously, you got Trey Pipkins over there, you got Trent Scott over there, but, I mean, that's not saying much. And you go into the season looking like that, it's, you know, mayday, mayday. I mean, problems. You know, Houston, we have a problem, okay? It's definitely not something you want. They have to address it. I would imagine they're going to address it in the draft and free agency. There's still a couple of left tackles out there that I would throw. You know, Jason Peters, I'd throw him $8 million right now. Say, hey, come play left tackle. Come mentor Trey Pipkins. Please, you know, give us some depth and some experience on the left side. And I think, you know, you're automatically in a better position than you were if you don't sign him. And, yeah, as far as left guard, everybody wants to see, you know, Forrest Lamp just get on the field. I just want to see him on the field and stay on the field and see what type of player he can be. That is just not something we've been able to see so far. He just can't stay healthy. I just want to see him go out there, play 12 to 16 games and see what happens, see what the season looks like after that. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think, too, if Forrest Lamp was able to be on the field for a full season, if he gets a full offseason, which obviously with everything going on right now, whether he's healthy or not, he might not get, that he would have a good shot at being an above-average guard in this league. I mean, he played left tackle in college, and we just haven't really seen him try to play tackle. But best-case scenario, he's a guy that can be kind of a swing tackle and be really good depth, if not the starting left guard. So hopefully that pans out, but there's not a lot of talent at that position right now. But speaking of all these positions and speaking about all these needs, the Chargers' first wave of free agency is over, but they still have a little bit of money left in their pocket, and obviously there are still some guys out there that can help this team. So in the next segment, we're going to be getting into the best free agents left available that would make sense for the Chargers, coming up right after this. All right, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the day, and we talked about what the Chargers' biggest needs were in the last segment, so now it's time to talk about how they would address those needs. So we're not going to beat a dead horse and talk about some of the guys that we've already talked about, because some of those guys are still out there. I mean, Jason Peters, like David talked about last segment, you know, throwing a little bit of money his way to get a short-term answer for your left tackle position is not something I have any problems with. I would prefer it. I don't know if it's going to happen at this point, but the market definitely seems to be drying up, so he seems to be able to be had at a smaller contract. Hopefully, that's wishful thinking, obviously, but some of the guys we've already talked about before that are still out there, Robbie Anderson, surprisingly still hasn't gotten signed yet, Breshad Perriman, both guys that would obviously help at the wide receiver three position, but both might be out of the Chargers price range at the moment. And it's time to talk about that too, because we've seen some different reports out there. Albert Breer of the NFL came out today and said the Chargers had somewhere around $36 million in cap space remaining. That is kind of a false number, because Daniel Popper came out and told us a few days ago that the Chargers, after everything, should have about $8.5 million left in spending money. So that's not money that is going to be used on draft picks. That's not money that's going to be kept as a reserve just in case somebody gets injured in the middle of the season. That's just money they should be able to spend right now in free agency. And we talked about, you know, re-signing a guy like Damian Square. Maybe that cuts into it. Maybe there's some other very, very low budget signings that we won't see coming. The Chargers might move. But that being said, the $36 million is inaccurate. That's official signings only. Somebody was quick to jump on Daniel Popper, and he absolutely put him in his place and gave the correct details on it. But we're talking about somewhere around $8.5 million. So for one player, obviously that gets you a pretty good player. I don't expect them to really spend all of that necessarily on one guy, because they're going to have to fill this roster out, the rest of this roster. And they haven't filled all of the positions they lost in free agency so far. But David, I think now we're looking at, you know, low budget options that the Chargers could be able to bring in. Obviously, these guys that are still on the market, some of them don't really have as much of a market anymore. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney is still going to go out there and get paid, but there are still some, you know, middling veterans out there that have had good years and bad years, maybe coming off a down year. There are still, you know, low cost guys that are out there. And right now, the Chargers, after everything, should have about $8 million to play with.
Yeah, and then they can address some depth, you know, with that $8.5 million. I mean, if you look around the NFL, the best teams in the NFL are the teams that have quality depth, because injuries are a part of the game. Every team is going to go through them.
For the Chargers more than anyone.
Exactly. I mean, if you're a Charger fan, you know this team gets absolutely just destroyed by injuries every single season, and it's the quality of depth that always seems to shine through or not shine through in the Chargers' sense. That's something they need to correct, and they can do that with some of that money they have left over.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there definitely are some guys out there, and now, obviously, these aren't going to be names that necessarily excite you. These aren't going to be necessarily name-brand players, even though there are still some of those guys left out there. Usually, that's for a good reason, but David, when you're looking at the best, you know, maybe low-budget bargain free agents, this is where Tom Telesco likes to strike later on. I mean, it might be another week before he makes the next move just to let the prices drop even a little bit more, but surveying the market, seeing what's still out there with the landscape the way it is right now, who are some guys that you saw that could make sense for the Chargers and wouldn't necessarily break the bank?
Yeah, so if I was the coupon god, Tom Telesco himself, I would probably be looking to add another pass rusher, and this guy might not cost a lot of money. I mean,
I like that too. It seems like a hot take, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like we mentioned, Bosa and Ingram, the quality at the top is phenomenal, but, you know, they haven't gotten any other pass rush from any other avenues like they had in years past. So I'd like to see them bring another guy in, and a guy that I have my eye on is former Giants defensive end Marcus Golden. He's coming off of a 10-sack season. So this is a guy who's just going to be a situational pass rusher who's still somewhat young. He's been very productive, and you need to add more pass rush. You can never have enough pass rushers in the NFL. I'd like to see them throw a deal at him and bring him in for a year, prove it, and see if he can go make himself a lot of money next year.
Yeah, and I really like the Chargers bringing in a pass rusher, and I know most people listening to this might think that's crazy, but you have to think back. I mean, the Chargers have had good pass rushers before and still brought in additional options to have in obvious passing downs and to have to spell the guys that are out there, because the Chargers have attempted to run some kind of NASCAR packages out there where they have Joey Bosa playing defensive tackle on the inside. They have Melvin Ingram on the inside sometimes, but then you got put guys like Isaac Rochelle on the outside, and Isaac Rochelle just plainly hasn't been good. I mean, he had the year where Joey Bosa was injured. He had 4.5 sacks in 5 games, but I think that was somewhat of a mirage. I've been unimpressed with Isaac Rochelle. And remember, I mean, he's a 7th round pick, so there's no shame in that. You've already gotten some value out of that pick, more than you probably ever thought that you would get. But you think back about the times when they brought in a guy like Dwight Freeney, who was much older than the guys we're talking about right now. I mean, just to have that situational pass rusher. So looking at guys that wouldn't necessarily break the bank, I look at a guy like Cameron Wake, who is still, I mean, really up there in age, obviously at a very advanced age, but a guy who has still been productive and I think who can come in spells and absolutely give a jolt to your pass rush. And another guy that's kind of in the same boat that actually had a pretty good season last year is Vinnie Curry from the Eagles. You're going to hear a couple Eagles or former Eagles from me in this one, but last year had an 81.7 pass rush grade, which was 12th at his position, and his pressure rate was tied for 4th with J.J. Watt. So obviously if you're tied with J.J. Watt and something, it's probably a good thing for the most part, but this is a guy who isn't in every down defensive lineman in the NFL anymore, but can still come in, play a few snaps a game, maybe 15 to 20 snaps per game, and absolutely give a jolt to your pass rush. Because I think one of the things that's hurt Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram is they're always out there. I mean, they're 3 down defensive linemen. They're not just coming in to rush the passer. Joey Bosa did so much of the dirty work last year, especially in the running game. So if you're looking at pass rushers, something like that, I think Vinnie Curry and Cameron Wake are two guys that would make sense if they were willing to come on maybe a 1-year deal to try to extend their career, or maybe a prove it deal to try to get a contract after that, because obviously the market has dried up on them some. So obviously one of the other big positions that we talked about in the last segment was not pass rusher, right? We talked about linebackers as one of the Chargers' biggest needs still, and one of the guys that really popped up to me as a guy that could fill some needs for the Chargers is another former Eagle. This time it's Nigel Bradham, who has started 96 games over his last 8 seasons, so he's a very durable player. And one of the things that stood out to me looking over his past few years, I mean, if you look at Pro Football Focus, if he has a strength, it's coverage, and if he has a weakness, it's stopping the run. But last season, over 440 coverage snaps, and he had a 75 coverage grade, which, if you're wondering, is much better than any of the Chargers linebackers had last season. And Drew Tranquil, I like as a coverage linebacker. I think he can grow into a role where he gets a lot better at it. Obviously, he was a rookie last season. He has the tools. He's athletic enough. He's speedy enough. He can make tackles in open space, all of those things. But outside of that, I mean, Denzel Perryman is an obvious weakness if he's out there in coverage. And I think that's one of the reasons this one makes sense to me, David. Obviously, you don't want to bring someone in that is going to hurt you as far as stopping the run. But the combination of those two guys, especially given Denzel Perryman's injury history, to have a guy like Denzel Perryman that can come in there and stop the run on early downs, and to also have a guy now that you don't have Adrian Phillips and Nigel Bradham that can go out there and be really good in coverage, even if he is a liability in some other areas, that's how you get cheap players. I mean, you get players that have specialties. In this case, I think Nigel Bradham can come in and be that coverage linebacker, so you don't have to see Denzel Perryman trying to cover Tyreek Hill, or last year, I think it was Allen Robinson down the field. I mean, you just never want to see that. And I think this is a guy from a coverage standpoint at the linebacker position that the Chargers really just don't have anyone like him on the roster at this point.
Yeah, you add another chess piece on the defense. You add another player for Gus Bradley to mix and match with and try to put his best players on the field in the best situations for them to succeed and for them to help the team succeed as well. So I can definitely see a place for Nigel Bradham on the Chargers in the right role for him. A guy I know that's probably not exactly a perfect scheme fit for the Chargers, but a guy that I've respected from afar, or actually pretty up close, I would say, on the Broncos, and that's Derek Wolf. You know, he's the defensive lineman. Yeah, I know he's coming from a 3-4. Trust me, I understand that. But I just love his mentality. I love his attitude. I love the leadership. I love the way he plays. I just love the way he plays football. And I think I like to add those type of players to the Chargers defense whenever I find them. I don't think it would cost a lot of money, and it might fire him up a little bit to go ahead and try to go against Melvin Gordon and the Broncos. I know that sounds really weird, but Melvin Gordon and the Broncos twice a year.
Absolutely. You know, we take one of theirs, they take one of ours. We take another one of theirs. That's how it goes, right? I mean, I think for Derek Wolf, since he hasn't gotten a contract with the Broncos yet, he might be willing to do that and sign up to go play against them two times a year. I mean, he's a guy that's a Broncos fan favorite, and for good reason, because not only would he help with the depth along the defensive interior for the Chargers, but he would also supply the attitude and the grit as well. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, talked about eating Phillip Rivers' children at one point. And I think that's one of those guys that you don't want him on the other side chasing your quarterback or your running back. You want him on your side. And I think he would be such a good leader for guys like Justin Jones, for guys like Jerry Tillery on the interior, to help them and kind of mentor them while also not being asked to come in and really just be the main guy, right? So I don't necessarily dislike that pick. We talked about that as a lower key need in the last segment, and the Chargers need depth at the position. They have some guys there right now, but I think they have some disposable guys there right now as well that they could definitely improve on. But the free agency period is not over. The big signings definitely are over for the most part, but you never rule out coupon god Tom Telesco. So if there's anything we know not to get too comfortable, because Tom Telesco is always working on something, and usually those things happen a little bit later in free agency. And like we've just told you, there's still some guys out there that could absolutely help this team, and you still have room for in the budget. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Please rate and review. We always appreciate it. If you guys want to get in on the voicemails, I think we'll probably do another voicemail show on Wednesday and then on Friday, just so we're not doing it every day, but we can catch up a little bit. The number is 323-524-7924. But thank you guys for making this so worth it. Thank you for coming back every single day, giving us opinions on what we talk about on the show, and always coming back to listen. We appreciate it so much, but we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.